724-283-2525. It's Butler County's only live call-in talk show. It's your turn on 680 AM WISR and worldwide on the internet at WISR680.com. It's your turn, 724-283-2525. And now, it's your turn with Dave Malarkey.
Well, good afternoon once again, everyone. Welcome. Nice to have you with us on the Monday edition of It's Your Turn. I hope you had a good weekend. We had beautiful weather, and we haven't had too many weekends where we had gorgeous weather. Friday, Saturday, Sunday was beautiful. Hope you had a good time. Hope you had a chance to get out and enjoy. We are going to be talking about, we're getting an update on the playground of Memorial Park on the first segment of the program today, but I do hope you can stay with us because later we're going to take a ride on the Oil Creek and the Titusville Railroad. We'll be chatting a little bit later on the program today with Sherry Porter. But first we say hello to a friend of long standing. Peggy Weckerly is here, representing Butler AM Rotary. Peggy, it's always good to see you.
It's great to be here. We used to be neighbors for so many years.
That's right. When we were in the same building in the Pullman Business Center, we would see each other practically every day in the lobby or at the elevator or whatever. And then we moved, and you retired.
And I retired, yes. The career link moved from the beautiful offices we had downstairs when the building was built to where you folks were. And it was right after that I retired. That does not necessarily cause and effect, but it was close.
Well, it's good to see you again. Peggy's been very active in Butler AM Rotary. And in case you missed it, we talked, I guess it was last year, I guess.
Last
we talked
year,
about
July,
your plans to upgrade the playground facilities at Butler Memorial Park. And phase one is complete. You took care of that last fall, right?
Yes, we did. And so many thanks to all your listeners and others and companies who donated to help us buy the first bit of equipment. This was for the ages 2 to 5 year old. And we installed it the end of October last year. For having really just made the decision we were going to do this and then launching it, we pulled it off in just a matter of months. So we were very pleased about that. But that's only one small part of it, because what we're looking to do, Dave, down at Butler Memorial is to bring it back to where it really should be and to update it so that it's accessible to people with wheelchairs and canes and walkers and you name it, because grandparents and parents bring their kids down there. And we hope that as we put more equipment in the playground and get those sidewalks put in this year, people are really going to want to come back and use it.
Well, playgrounds have morphed.
They're very different than what they were when I was young.
Yeah, you know, we had some swings and
sliding board.
And a sliding board. And if you're lucky, maybe a seesaw, a teeter-totter.
Monkey bars and a sandbox.
I forgot about that. But we didn't have protective ground cover and all that sort of thing that we really do need today. And the other thing was, most importantly, if there were kids with any sort of a physical disability, they were just out of luck because they couldn't use any of this apparatus. Different story today with what you're doing at AM Butler Rotary.
Well, a hugely different story. And for many of your listeners, I'm sure most of them are familiar with the Purple Park out at Alameda. Mm-hmm. And our club was still in its first 5 years. And they raised the money and built that park. And actually, it won a state award for the design being so inclusive that kids could get around regardless of what types of disabilities they had. Mm-hmm. We knew just because charities have proliferated and more service groups are out there doing so many things, we knew we couldn't build to that scale to raise the money and to do so many other things we would have loved to have done. But we took on the Memorial Park because we thought it was doable. It was not to the scope of the Purple Park, but we knew that it needed a lot of help. And so we thought, this is something, we're good at what we do. We're known for that park. We thought we want to be known for this park.
Well, phase one is complete, but phase two is still to come. And I understand, Peggy, it's much, much bigger than phase one.
Well, it is larger than phase one, because phase one was putting in the first piece of equipment and getting our feet wet, because there was a lot we had to learn to do in the process. And thankfully, the company that sold us the equipment sent people and stepped us through every step of the way, telling us what we needed to do, what we needed to have, what groups needed to work with, whatever. This one is larger. This is the one that's going to be for ages 5 to 12. This is these are much larger pieces. They're more encompassing. They actually include play sections that are for kids that have autistic tendencies, in addition to all the other things that we're looking to do. And the big part of this is going to be the sidewalks. We're building the sidewalks. We're installing those. They're going to be wide enough to accommodate wheelchairs. They're going to take you directly into the play area, which you can't do now because of the surrounding that they have there. And then at the same time, our club, long known for the service that we provide in the community, like the gardens that we just did over Memorial Day on Newcastle and Hanson, and cleaning up the highway trash and doing so many other things, it's going to be an annual service project that our club does, the Butler AM Rotary, to go down to the park every year, paint what needs to be painted, do minor repairs, put in more mulch or whatever the ground covering is that they finally decide upon, and then be able to maintain it so it doesn't fall into the state of disrepair that it is. One other thing I want to mention, as many of you know who have been down there are swings that are functional. However, we are working with Lance Wellover from the Parks Department, and we're actually going to be painting and fixing the swings and making them more enticing, more usable, and, of course, more safe.
My eyes are half closed. I'm trying to think of the last time I was on a swing. It's a long, long time ago. But, boy, that was fun when you were a little kid.
Oh, yeah.
Felt like you were going to the stars, didn't it?
Yeah, and the higher you went, the better it was.
Yeah.
And you wanted a tall person because they could get you up higher.
Yeah, they could push you.
Yep.
Yeah. Great fun for kids.
Great fun.
So is all of the apparatus in the Memorial Park playground going to be the same color, or is it a rainbow, or what?
Well, it's kind of a rainbow. I don't think that it's not a predominant color like the purple playground that got its name because the equipment turned out to be purple. This is a lot of the equipment has the green cast to it, but in keeping with so many of the bells and whistles that go for kids with disabilities and all, they're going to be several different colors. Mm-hmm. Having seen so many pictures, the only color actually, Dave, that jumps out at me is the green. And I don't think we're going to know this is the green playground. There's a lot of other stuff there, too. But I we'll have to find a name for it. And I think once it's built, I think the name will evolve as we go along.
Well, phase one included a nice curlicue slide, right? And
yeah.
When I say curlicue, it turns over on itself a couple of times.
It really does. It's a sort of what they call a slither slide. And it was really neat. The new equipment coming in is a lot more complex in that it has a lot of different play parts and pieces and so on. And one of the things I want to stress today to you and to everybody else is the fact that we have already raised a nice amount of money, which enabled us to build the first part. The next part's going to be on September the 28th. We've already gotten the approval from the parks. We've gotten the okay through the company that provides the equipment. We're working with our business and other groups that want to volunteer with us because it takes an awful lot of manpower to do this, a tremendous amount. And we're actively looking to have anyone who can donate anything from a dollar up to donate. It's just like a change jar. The more change you put in, the bigger the sum, and the same is going to be true here. We have been very blessed. Many of the businesses in the area have donated $500, $1,000, $2,000, $2,500. We received a $40,000 DCNR grant, the Department of Conservation and Natural Resources, with the help of the Parks Department. And we have been very, very blessed by some more generous donors who have given us even more. But there is still a long way to go, because the more money we raise, the more that we're going to be able to put in. We have verbal commitments from people right now to donate this or donate, not so much the money in, but donate materials, donate their time because they have a particular skill that relates to this, such as building sidewalks or whatever. So we're very, very much appreciative of anybody who can donate anything to help us out. They can send us a donation to our post office box at P.O. Box 2434, Butler 16003, and just mark playground on it. And if they don't want to do that, they can go to our website at butleramrotary.com. And right as soon as you go to the website, you'll see a donate button that takes you directly to PayPal. And then on social media, we've just gotten it established. We have a direct link donate button there also. So that kind of thing helps us out tremendously because money buys the equipment, buys the materials, and that's important. However, if you represent a company or you're working at a company where you think you could get a couple of your friends and coworkers to donate, you know, throw together some money and maybe get your company to match it, AK Steel and United Plate Glass have already done that, and we've raised thousands of dollars because of their generosity. So there are a lot of options. And the other thing is that if somebody wants to say, well, you know what, I'd like to donate money, but I want it to go to the sidewalk, or I'd like it to go to something that you're going to put in down there, give me a whole list. We can do that, and we can designate it. So, you know, any and everything is welcome at this point.
Butler Memorial Park, for folks who live or don't live in the city of Butler, you're certainly welcome to come in and go to Memorial Park. It's free. It's a big park. It's in the west end of the city, just off Mercer Street. And there's a long drive. You can go out to the far end. It goes all the way out to the 422 bypass and then comes back. Where exactly is the new playground equipment? Is it like halfway back or...?
When you drive into the park, it's at the Miller Shelter, and as soon as you drive down the hill into the park, you look over and you'll see what remains of the playground and, of course, the new piece of equipment, and Miller Shelter is right there. So that's where we're staging everything that we need to stage for this. So it's really very easy to find. But I would add, I think one of the things, and this is what impressed me as somebody who's not native to Butler, is the fact that that park, and I remember years ago when my husband and I used to go there, it was just an absolute gem. It was beautiful. It still is a beautiful park. There are places to walk, places to really get around and see things. It really, to me, is the kind of place you want to go for a family picnic.
And it's lost a few things, though. The swimming pool was closed,
which, unfortunately,
that's happened in many communities. It is incredibly expensive to maintain a swimming pool these days. I know Evan City just renovated theirs. They got a huge grant, $500,000 to renovate that pool. And there's a lot of communities that just, they don't have that kind of money, you know. And swimming pools leak. And after a while, they're,
a lot
you know,
of maintenance.
Yeah, tremendous amount of and expense for chemicals and chlorine and stuff, you know, to keep it operating. So that's been lost, but the playground equipment is coming back, really brand new stuff. What are some of the apparatus that's going to be in phase two? Do we know that yet for sure?
Well, there are a lot of pieces and parts that go with this, and boy, am I not the person to tell you everything about it. I have seen the pictures. I'm looking at a picture right now that has a climbing station, and it has a slide, and it has a whole lot of other unique things to capture a child's attention and make them want to climb and do things. There are just, as I said, it's for more the pieces we're going to be putting in are for the ages 5 to 12.
Yeah, it looks
so. This
like
is the bigger. This is the bigger piece, and I should have brought my other pictures with me, and I apologize. I did not do that.
I've got a picture here myself. It looks like one of those. I don't know, like you see in an army boot camp where you go from, you know, use your hands and go from hand in hand to down a kind of a little gauntlet there, holding yourself. My arms get tired just looking at that thing.
Well, and as you see, there, and it's unfortunate because your folks that are listening can't see this, but as you're looking at it, Dave, you see that there's a backside to it and there's a side to it, and there are other activities all encompassing. It used to be, going back to what you said, in most of the older playgrounds where most of us played, you had a freestanding, you had the swings, you had the slides, you had the monkey bars, you had whatever. the new equipment that seems to be out there in a lot of the parks is like one piece encompasses so many of those types of activities, but makes them more interesting, like the little rock climbing wall and things like that, that just really entice kids' attention.
Not only that, but when you have these different activities all grouped together, the kids can play together that way. They're
exactly.
They're not separated, you know.
And that was another key feature that we had when we started discussing about this park, was we wanted families to be able to be down there who had not only the older kids but the younger kids, and be able to sit at the shelter or stand there and be accessible to both those age groups, mm-hmm. so that you didn't have one playing way over to one side and one playing over on the other side and lose track of what you had. So we wanted something that was more centralized.
I had never thought about the sidewalk angle as being so critical, but as soon as you started talking about it, you know, you think of trying to get a wheelchair across a bumpy, grassy
yes.
field. Maybe if you had somebody to push, even then it would be tough, but for, you know, a youngster to try to maneuver the wheelchair by himself or herself across a bumpy field... couldn't do it. So you're going to have sidewalks in there, sidewalk accessibility.
That's huge. But also think about the people who have had orthopedic procedures, or people who may be up in years and have some mobility issues and so on. Even trying to take their grandchildren or children there and be with them and walk over uneven ground becomes a chore in itself. So a huge piece, and we've actually, as we've had meetings, we initially started with one part of what we wanted to do with the sidewalk, and then we thought, well, you know, you need to extend it over here, and wouldn't it be nice if we did this? So we really, the sky's kind of the limit in our minds. It's unfortunately our pocketbooks don't always come together with this, but I do want to mention that as of this moment, so far, we have raised $116,000 since we started this initiative in the past year. Our overall goal to do all the basics of what we had planned from day one is $190,000. So we're looking at about a $74,000 gap. Now, we're very hopeful that a lot of the local companies and maybe some families that are in a situation to want to donate more money and be recognized for it, we're very hopeful that, you know, that money will come through. The Butler has always been an extremely supportive and generous community that way, and especially when it comes to the kids. And that's what we're all about with the Butler AM Rotary. But we made the goal that high because you never can guarantee that you're going to get a lot of things donated that you want donated, such as supplies and materials. So this is... I hate to wear out the knees of my pants groveling, but this is grovel time because we really want to make this outstanding.
Well, the we're talking about the various components. The slide is already taken care of. That's sponsored. The rock climber, the monkey bars. But there's a climbing wall. There's sponsorship mm-hmm. available for that.
And another slide.
Mm-hmm. The slither slide. And then some smaller playset components as well. It's going to be a whole lot more complicated to put together than phase one.
Well, the company that we deal with, Jeffrey Associates out of Indianola, is excellent that way. We already have the list of the work groups that they need put together with our volunteers. Mm-hmm. And at the same time, as I said, they provide us with their people to step us through what needs to be done so we don't put the wrong parts with the wrong pieces.
Do you have to do any... ground leveling work or anything in advance of putting this stuff in? You have to make sure you have a level spot.
The Parks Department works really well with us that way. They go in and make sure everything's ready for us. That's one part we don't do. They have standards for what they want to see with a lot of these types of things when you put in equipment and when you're talking about accessibility. There are, when you talk accessibility, and we had this in the Career Link over at Pullman, there are so many higher level things you have to be aware of and you have to meet in order to say your playground is mm-hmm. accessible. Mm-hmm. From the entrance to it, to the equipment that's there, to all the access points that you have set up and so on. So, yeah, the city has been great with us on this. The Parks Department has been very supportive. I can't say enough about Jeff Smith and Lance Wellover for the coordination they have done with us on this. They've been helpful every step of the way.
Well, nice to get cooperation from city and park officials. It's going to be a great improvement for the city, so, you know.
Well, it's huge.
Yeah.
They don't have the money to build it, and they also don't have the money to maintain it.
So Rotarians are, my goodness, you've been in the playground business.
Yeah, it seems like that, and we've adopted our, although all Rotaries serve international and local types of needs, our Rotary, and again, because of the Purple Park and the people that are in our group, are so committed to wanting to help kids, whether they're at risk financially or they have disabilities or any number of different types of groups of kids. So the majority of our donated efforts and donations as such go to organizations locally, nonprofits, that are helping children who are finding themselves at various stopping points along the way. One of our biggest projects recently, in more recent years, was the Weekend Backpack Program. We were one of the first people behind that program when they got that started, and we donated food every week. We raised money. Over the years, we've donated probably close to $9,000 to their cause, not even to mention the donated food.
And that thing is going strong. Also, Rotarians have been involved. In fact, as Peggy said, just within the past couple of weeks, with flower planting at one of the entrances into the city. This would be at the end of Hanson Avenue, the intersection with Newcastle Street, Newcastle Road. And there are, I don't know, there's three or four big flower beds in there. It's not like throwing a couple of petunias in and walking away.
Well, isn't that the truth? Yeah, this is you think, oh, I can plant flowers in my yard. Well, there is so much more to that. It ended up, I forget how many exactly we had. I think we had in the neighborhood of 20-some people. Maybe it was 30-some, because they divide up. And then you have to prepare the ground. Mm-hmm. And then you have to plant them. And then we have to put the mulch on, which we buy and put on there. And then we have a couple of members who ride by there on a regular basis and keep their eye on it. And we've got some wonderful neighbors that are right around there who try to help water it and keep it nice when we don't have rain.
Yeah. Well, it's a wonderful beautification effort for people coming into the city, whether it's for the first time or many times.
Right.
You know, some people might think, you know, what's the big deal? Well, it is a big deal when you have these beautiful flower beds at entrances to the city. It's a first impression for a lot of people.
Right. And it makes you smile.
Yeah.
And it makes you think people care in this community if you've never been here before.
Mm-hmm.
And speaking of caring, before I forget, I do want to mention our Butler Rotary meets at the Butler YMCA on Washington Street every Tuesday morning from 7 to 8. We have a catered breakfast there. We start a couple minutes after 7. We're out the door at 8 o'clock. So if anybody listening knows of anybody or you yourself would be interested in coming down and having breakfast with us just to see who we are and what we do, we would love to have you. Our membership now is up to 42. And among those, we also have some corporate memberships where several people from a company belong. So I always like to put that out there. It used to be years and years and years ago, I think the standard was, you know, you had to be kind of earmarked and invited, or somebody had to reach out to you. And that's not the case now. The Rotaries everywhere are extremely welcoming, and we're only as strong as the people who are part of it.
And it's a worldwide organization, too, by the way, in many, many
huge number of people, millions, yes.
Is it A.M. Butler Rotary that is involved with the Carved in Ice Festival? Is that your
yes.
group?
Yes. Year 5 is coming up, and it's going to be in February. It's either February 22nd or 23rd, whichever is the Saturday that week. We are going to be expanding it this year, but I'm not at liberty to give you the changes that are going to be made.
You're teasing us.
I'm definitely teasing you, because this will be major, but I don't want to speak for us yet and make it too public, because it's not all defined yet. But believe it or not, our planning meetings start the end of September.
Wow.
So, you know, here we are rolling with the playground, and we're going to roll right into that and then roll from there. And right along with that, I will mention, since we're talking about our Rotary, October 26th is going to be our second Ghost and Giggles Comedy Night at the Vagabonds. Last year was our first effort, and we raised almost $8,000, all of which we put into the Playground Fund. And even though this build will take place in September, we're earmarking the Ghost and Giggles money this year also for the playground, because part of the playground is going to be a recognition type of wall or something like that too, which again costs money. But the first thing is get the equipment in. But that's coming up, so mark your calendars, October 26th, and you'll see more about it in the paper and hear about it, I'm sure, on the radio.
Is that like comedians or something?
Yes, there's a professional group that comes in by the name of Slapsticks Productions, and they bring in professional comedians. These aren't just people from locally who may be excellent, but they are people who are seasoned comedians. And then in addition, we held some unique types of we had 50-50, but we had some unique type of chance games that were there and baskets that were unbelievable. But for our first effort, we had almost 230 people attend, and we expect a lot more this year because people liked the way we handled it.
Well, it's something that a lot of folks don't get a chance to see live. See comedians, stand-up comedians on TV,
right?
But live in person?
And with your friends and having dinner as part of it.
Yeah, yeah. And all raising money for an excellent cause.
Yes.
A.M. Butler Rotary Charity. So once again now, if you'd like to help out, and it big donation or small, I mean, a buck, if that's all you can afford, but you'll be a stakeholder.
Yes.
You'll feel that you've helped out. How do people donate, Peggy?
The easiest, quickest way for your listeners would probably be just to slip a check in the mail and put it to Box 2434 at Butler 16003. And if you're more comfortable dealing with social media, or you're more comfortable dealing on a website, butleramrotary.com, there's a donate button there. Social media, we've been pushing that out. I know that there are any number of links out there. And right there, you make a donation, it goes right to the bank account.
And if you haven't seen the playground upgrades, feel free to drive through Memorial Park. Phase one is complete. You can see it. Phase two will be even bigger, and it'll be completed this fall, kind of after the playground season, before the weather gets bad. Then you go in there en masse and put it all together.
Well, yeah, and you have the little league teams that are out there playing too.
That's
true. And we had to work part of the scheduling around their schedule. So we had to, there was more to it than just, well, let's go pick a date. There was a lot more coordination back and forth to do it. So that all led to that date. The equipment has been ordered now for almost 2 months. So it's, we're working on it. We're getting there.
Where does it come from? The equipment?
Jeffrey Associates out of Indianola.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, they specialize in playground equipment, and they're the people that we were directed to that could give us the best support and still be a relatively local firm to provide this.
Pennsylvania company.
Yeah. Yes.
Peggy, it's always good to see you.
Oh, it's always a pleasure.
Yeah,
I enjoy this.
Nice to talk to you. I miss the old days when we bumped into each other in the hallway a lot.
Yeah, and I'd be passing and somebody from there, Vicki or somebody, would say, you know what, we've got half an hour. Can you come up and talk about something? And we always had something to talk about, just like the Rotary does.
Peggy Weckerly is representing Butler AM Rotary here today with an update on what will be phase two of the playground project at Butler Memorial Park. Well, stick around. There's more to come on the Monday edition of It's Your Turn. We'll take a break. We're going to be getting information on the Oil Creek and Titusville Railroad. I have not ridden on this railroad, and I want to do it. That's going to be on my bucket list this summer. That's
have
for sure.
Some friends that went on that ride, and they said it is worth every minute of your time.
Beautiful trip from what I hear. Well, we'll get the details coming up from Cherry Porter. That's next here on It's Your Turn on WISR, so stick around. We'll be back in just a couple of minutes to talk to her. Be right back.
Thompson Miller Funeral Home in Butler can answer your questions about cremation. Is it appropriate for your loved ones? Should there be a funeral service? Keep in mind that even with cremation, it is time to celebrate how meaningful and important was the life of your loved one. Is cremation appropriate for your family? How would they feel about it? And what's the cost? Cremation has three advantages: simplicity, convenience, and it's local. The Thompson Miller Cremation Program is right here in Butler at our newly created facility. We assure you that your loved one will never leave our care at any point in the process. So let's talk it over privately right here at Thompson Miller in Butler. Call us at 724-287-3706, 287-3706, or online at www.thompson-miller.com. Thompson Miller, at the corner of East North and McCain Streets in downtown Butler. Thompson Miller, time-honored excellence.
Thinking about remodeling or refinancing your home? ArmCo Credit Union's new HELOC combines the flexibility of a traditional home equity line of credit with the low fixed rate of a home equity loan. Lock in different amounts, rates, and terms up to 20 years under one convenient loan agreement and monthly payment without the hassle of reapplying as your borrowing needs change. It's never been easier to join, so call or visit us at one of our locations or online at armcocu.com to become a member. ArmCo Credit Union is an equal housing lender and is federally insured by NCUA.
Welcome back, good friends. Well, as promised, coming up on the next segment of It's Your Turn, we're going to find out all about the Oil Creek and the Titusville Railroad. And visiting with us by telephone is Sherry Porter. Sherry is the Assistant Administrative Manager of the Oil Creek and Titusville Railroad. Sherry, welcome. Nice to have you here.
Thank you. Thank you for having us.
I'm sure that we have some listeners who are familiar with your railroad, who have perhaps ridden it. There are others who are saying, where the heck is the Oil Creek and Titusville Railroad anyway? Can you give us a little bit of an overview, Sherry?
I can. Our main station is located in Titusville, Pennsylvania. Our street address is 409 South Perry Street, Titusville. Our train is located on the border of Crawford and Venango counties. The train ride actually takes them from the city of Titusville into Venango County down through a portion of Drake Well Park and then on into Oil Creek State Park for about a 13.5-mile trip one way and then turns around and brings them back.
How long does the trip take?
It is about a 3-hour round trip.
Mm. By the way, Titusville, is that in Crawford County? Am I correct on that? Are you?
It is, yes. Just barely, but yes.
Okay, so you're just over the Venango County line.
We are just barely by the skin of our teeth, yes.
And from Butler or anywhere in our listing area, Butler County, right up Route 8, correct?
Correct, yes. About an hour and 25 minutes to, if you're closer to Pittsburgh, it's going to be a little bit closer to 2 hours, but yep.
Well, I was just telling
a good day trip.
Just telling my previous guest who is here in the studio today that I have not ridden on your railroad, and it is on my bucket list for this summer. I want to take this trip.
That would be great. We would love to have you.
So this is a nice trip, 3 hours. You know,
it's not,
not like hopping on a little miniature choo-choo. This is a full-size, big-time train. Where did the rolling stock come from? That's hard to come by these days, isn't it?
Unfortunately, I can't answer that question directly. Most of the individuals that were around and helped procure a lot of that originally are no longer with us. Due to age and that type of thing. So unfortunately, as far as a direct answer on that, I don't know, but we were very blessed to have a bunch of very involved people that were able to procure those for us. And so it's a full-time job trying to maintain them and keep them in the shape that they're in so we can continue using them.
Oh, yeah. These older locomotives, I mean, you know, many of them are antiques. Still in working order, of course, but takes a lot of work. Who drives the train? You have engineers there, obviously, Sherry?
We do. We actually work with a group out of Gowanda, New York. The branch that runs our train, that pulls our train and provides our engineering staff, is called Oil Creek and Titusville Lines. They are a subsidiary of New York and Lake Erie Railroad out of Gowanda.
I'm guessing that this track was put down some time ago. We've lost a lot of our railroad track here in Pennsylvania, western Pennsylvania. Some of the old railroad beds have been made into trails, walking trails and biking trails, and that's good if the trains aren't running anymore. But I'm assuming that this is a holdover from the the halcyon days of the oil industry, right, in your area?
Very close. Our station, our primary boarding station, was actually constructed in the late 1800s, and at that time was actually a freight station. It then eventually went into being a feed mill, then went into a bad state of disrepair, and the group, the Oil Creek Historical Railway Society, was formed in the early 80s, and they purchased and restored the station, and they brought it up to what it is now, our primary boarding station. There's souvenirs for sale. We have kind of a miniature museum in there. There's concession area in there. So
there are a great many Americans. I'm not telling you anything here, Sherry. There are a great many Americans who have never ridden a train. I mean, if you'd go back a couple of generations, you know, people would laugh at you because that was a very common means of transportation. But unfortunately, here in the United States, not anymore.
Exactly. It is a dying art.
If you go to European countries or many Asian countries, especially in urban areas, that's all people do. They ride trains every day.
You got it.
They could probably not imagine the lack of them that we have here in our country. Well, here's a chance to ride not only an old time, but a very scenic railroad. What will people see if they take a ride on the Oil Creek and Titusville Railroad, Sherry?
They will go down through Oil Creek State Park, which they will be pointed out different locations that were critical in the development of the oil industry back in that time frame. The other day, I believe Saturday, there was a sighting of a mother bear and several cubs, white-tailed deer, blue heron, bald eagles. We have all sorts of wildlife that you will see. You'll be able to see occasionally individuals that are out on the various hiking trails and bike trails because there are areas where they are, you know, in close proximity that you can see those people as well. So it's hard to tell what you're going to find while you're out on the train.
We're talking with Sherry Porter from the Oil Creek and Titusville Railroad. Do you need to make advance reservations, or can you make advance reservations to ride?
Absolutely, you can. Most of our regular scheduled days, we do not require advance reservations. Now, if you are attending one of our special events, we strongly encourage them. If somebody is looking to attend one of our murder mystery dinners, those are done only by advance ticket sales. So just depends on what you are looking for, whether you need to go with that advanced sales route or not.
How long is the train? Is it several cars, Sherry?
We typically run with one engine. We have our first class Wabash car. There are five coach cars behind that and are what we refer to as our open car. That are on the train typically during the fall when we are hauling more individuals for our fall foliage tours. We usually have seven of those coach cars on there.
Mm-hmm. That's right. You can vary it depending on however many you need. Yeah,
absolutely.
It's strictly passenger. You don't haul any freight down the line and back, do you?
Actually, the individuals that provide the engine service do run a freight business on that line as well. Typically, when we are doing passenger rides, no, we do not haul freight with that.
We'll take a quick break. I have many more questions for Sherry Porter, so please stick with us for more coming up on the It's Your Turn program here on WISR. In just a moment, one of our sponsors on the program today is Going Postal Butler. They're your friendly neighborhood shipping center. What do? They package your items for shipping. If you have stuff to mail, it's so bothersome to hunt around right size box. This one's too big. This one's too little. And then you got to find the bubble wrap and that special cellophane mailing tape and the mailing labels. Forget about all that. Just take your items to Going Postal Butler, and they'll package them up for you and ship them any way you want, by the way. That's your choice. UPS, U.S. Postal Service, FedEx. Other services offered at Going Postal Butler include copying, scanning, faxing, You can rent a temporary mailbox there. They even have an official notary. Open Monday through Friday. Where are they located? In the Shockey Mini Storage Complex, which is right behind King's and Villa Grande restaurants on Newcastle Road. Your friendly neighborhood shipping center, that's Going Postal Butler. Going Postal Butler. The Young Funeral Home of Butler invites you to stop by their Jefferson Street location, downtown Butler, to talk about pre-arrangements. Not the easiest thing to do, but necessary. And the Young family will walk you through the process, making it very comfortable and really easy to take care of. You'll experience peace of mind knowing that your wishes and plans will be carried out to the last detail. Call the Young Funeral Home in Butler today to make an appointment with a member of the Young family. Generations of the Young family have been caring for generations of Butler families for well over 40 years. The Young Funeral Home, West Jefferson Street in Butler. We're talking with Sherry Porter from the Oil Creek and Titusville Railroad, learning about this wonderful day trip opportunity from our listening area, from Butler County and surrounding counties. Obviously, it's not going to take very long to get there. Sherry, when do the trains run? Is it one trip a day, or is it more on weekends? How's that work out?
We are only open weekends, so Saturday and Sundays only. The train departs at 11 a.m. July and August are typically our busier season, so those months we run Wednesday, Thursday, Saturday, and Sunday with trains leaving at 11 a.m., with the exception of Oil Heritage Weekend or Oil Festival Weekend here in Titusville. We do adjust those train rides back to 1 p.m., and then September we go back to weekends only at 11, and then October we bump the schedule to Wednesday, Thursday, Friday at 11 a.m., and then Saturdays and Sundays we do two runs a day, one departing at 10 a.m. and one departing at 3 p.m.
How long do the trains run? Till the snow flies in the winter?
Our last day is the 20th of October.
Okay, when the leaves are still pretty, huh?
Absolutely.
Yeah. Are there open cars for people who want to, you know, feel the wind in their face as they're traveling along the Oil Creek and Titusville Railroad, or is it all closed coaches?
We have one open car that is available to anybody who has purchased a ticket on the train, whether they're in a first-class car or in one of the coach cars. They are welcome to, once the staff on the train gives them the all clear, they are welcome to get up, move about the train, and go back to the open car. The other car that they would want to check out while they're on the train is what we refer to as our RPO car. It is our Railway Post Office car. It is the only operating Railway Post Office car in the United States. Huh. So it can, they can actually purchase postcards there and have them canceled and actually mailed from the train car.
How about that? Boy, you talk about a throwback to the olden days, huh?
Absolutely.
Wow. What about refreshments?
Those are available as well. We sell those in the station before they get on the train. There is also snacks and refreshments available while they're on the train, again, in the Railway Post Office car. And at the far end of the line where the train stops and they have about a 20-minute layover while the engine switches from the south end to the north end, at our Rin Farm station, there are concessions available there as well.
That southern terminus, is that as far down as Oil City, or doesn't it quite get that far?
Doesn't quite get that far. We are just a little bit north of Rouseville, which is just north of Oil City.
Yes, I know where that is. Can people do a one-way thing if they want to and then, like, hop on their bicycle or something?
Yes, we can do that. We actually had some people do that this weekend. They put their bicycles and themselves on the train at Perry Street and rode down and disembarked at the Petroleum Center and at the station, and then rode their bikes back up the bike trail and came back to the station. So, yes, you can do that. We have had people bring kayaks, canoes. As long as there's room for them on the train, we will, you know, pick them up and bring them one way or the other.
Does the route of the train track follow Oil Creek along the banks the whole way down?
Very much so, yes. There are very few times when you're on the train that you are not right next to the creek itself.
Does it ever cross the creek on a trestle or anything?
Absolutely. We have one, two, three, at least three bridges that I can think of offhand that you cross. So.
Oh, that's exciting. That's picturesque, huh?
Mm-hmm.
Take your camera, that's for sure.
Absolutely, yes.
By the way, are you allowed to take a sandwich or something with you, or is that forbidden?
No, you can take your lunch with you. The only thing we do not permit on the trains is the big hard-sided coolers, as long as it's in a small carry-on bag or one of the soft-sided coolers that you can carry, as long as it will fit on the floor by your feet or on your seat with you, that is absolutely fine. You can take your own picnic lunch with you to eat on the train.
People in Europe or in Asian countries would be very familiar with first class and coach class on a train. Not so with people here in this country because there simply aren't any passenger trains anymore. What's the difference between your first class and coach on the Oil Creek and Titusville Railroad?
Our first class car has softer, cushier seats. It also offers air conditioning, and we guarantee that there will be a tour guide in that particular car, regardless of which run you are on. The coach cars have more like a seat. We equate them to almost like being similar to a bus seat. It's just a flat bench seat, that type of thing. Excuse me. The tour guides are all volunteers, so we may or may not have enough tour guides that there is one in every car on the day you choose to ride. There is, however, an audio that goes along with the train ride down through the valley, so even if you are in a car without a tour guide, you do still get the history of the area and that type of thing.
And, of course, it's a very rich history with the Colonel Edwin Drake and the really, the start of the petroleum industry worldwide. I mean, there was oil here and there in other parts of the world, but in terms of drilling it and then selling it commercially, you're where it all started, right? The Oil Creek Valley.
We are, yes.
Are there still any working oil wells in the Oil Creek Valley?
There are some.
So you might get a look at one of those. Obviously, picturesque views along Oil Creek. Are there any gorges or big crossings that would kind of make you hold your breath for a second, Sherry?
Not really. None of ours are real sky high or anything like that. So if you're not a real fan of bridges, there, you know, a couple of them might make you like question your sanity for a minute. But no, they're all, you know, they're all very enjoyable to go across.
Nothing like that bridge up at Kinzu that was blown down by a tornado several years ago, huh?
No.
It was like being in an airplane. I don't know whether I would have wanted to go across that or not.
Yeah, no, I can definitely say I would not.
And I've seen pictures of that thing. A piece of it remains. I mean, it looks like it was built out of Tinker Toys. I can't imagine a train going across that thing. Wow.
Yes. So.
So how do you?
It definitely was not something I would have done of my own free will. That's for sure.
How do you make reservations if you want to do that in advance?
You can call our office at 814-676-1733, and we can process your order and send your tickets out to you, depending on how close it is to the actual date of your ride. We can also forward those tickets down to Perry Street Station, and you can pick them up there at the will call window.
By the way, folks, you're able to, once the all clear is given, you're able to move around on a train. You can actually go from car to car, can't you?
This is true, yes.
Is there a caboose on the train, Sherry Porter?
Unfortunately, no. We do not have one of those at this time. So there are actually 21 cabooses that are parked next to our train station that have actually been made into motel rooms. And it is called the Caboose Motel. And so they can actually have the experience of spending a night in a caboose, although it is not on the train.
I think that was one of the reasons that we had a caboose back in the heyday of train travel. Some of the crew could sleep in there, right?
Yes, that is it.
Mm-hmm. And they also had a raised area with kind of a skylight in it that, you know, the train personnel could hoist themselves up in there and they could see ahead, which ordinarily you wouldn't be able to do. And, of course, back in those days, you had a lot of guys who would hop off and, you know, they had lanterns and so on that they signaled the engineer way up ahead in the train. And you really don't need to do that anymore. The caboose is kind of a piece of American history these days, I guess.
Yes, it is. So,
but you have a lot of them there. How many did you say at the Caboose Motel?
21.
My goodness. That's pretty amazing. Are they all booked up, or can you get a room in there?
You can get rooms there. Typically, weekends are a little more challenging because we do have a good turnover rate, but they are open during the week and stuff. And there are weekends that we do still have some openings available, so it's always worth a call if you're coming this direction to see what they have available.
What's it cost to ride on the Oil Creek and Titusville Railroad round trip down and back?
For adults, it is $20. For seniors over the age of 60, it is $18. Kids between the ages of 2 and 12 are $14. Or first-class tickets, regardless of age, are $35 a piece.
And keep in mind, folks, this is a long trip. It's a three-hour trip on the scenic Oil Creek and Titusville Railroad. Can you take groups? What if we had a church group or a garden club or something that wanted to go together? Can you do that?
We can do that, and for groups like that, they need to call and make advance reservations with us, and we do have group rates that are available based on the size of the group, so they definitely need to reach out to the office to get that pricing.
Are seats reserved on a train like they are on an aircraft?
No. We sell you a ticket that guarantees you a seat, but we do not assign you a seat. When you board the train, you pretty much have your choice of where you would like to sit, unless we're getting into October when we are sold out and we are trying to accommodate as many people as we possibly can, and then it's we load from front to back that way.
Are there restrooms on the train, Sherry?
There are, yes.
Okay, so you don't have to worry about that. I'm trying to think of what else people might want to know. What about a child's stroller or a car seat? Is there room to bring those on?
We do not allow those on board simply because there is not any way to secure them. So we ask that any small children are either in, like, what I refer to as the papoose carriers or held and that type of thing for the small ones. Once they're able to obviously sit up on their own and kind of about the age of two where we start charging for a ticket for them to have a seat, they're pretty much on their own. But up to that point, they do need to be held and that type of thing. No car seats, no strollers, that type of thing.
Well, you'd probably want to do that for a young toddler or infant anyway, just to be on the safe
right.
side. And what about handicapped accessibility, Sherry?
We do have handicapped accessible areas. We can accommodate between 5 and 6 wheelchairs. Those individuals actually ride in what we refer to as the railway post office car. We have 2 large sliding doors that we seat them next to that they can be secured there, and they can see the entire train ride from there. And if they have limited mobility, they can move into one of the coach cars that adjoins the RPL.
I love to ride trains. I think one of the most exciting things is when you're going around a long sweeping curve and you can look out the window and you can see the train either ahead of you or behind you, depending on where you are in the train. It's kind of neat.
Yes.
Yeah, kind of neat. Listen, I have a couple of more questions for Sherry, and there are some special days coming up in the not-too-distant future that we want to talk about as well. I've got to squeeze in one more commercial break here. Stick with us. Back to talk more with Sherry Porter in just a moment. Be right back.
Put on your boogie shoes and get ready to dance the night away when the Platinum Band comes to the Tanglewood Entertainment Center on Saturday, June 15th. You'll relive some of the greatest hits from the 70s and 80s, but just when you think it's over, that's when the Motown and R&B kick in. Doors open at 6, buffet dinner by Chef George at 7, show starts at 8. Tickets are only $25, and as always, it's BYOB. It's the Platinum Band at the Tanglewood Entertainment Center, Saturday, June 15th. Call 724-287-0021 for tickets.
Chatting, a couple more minutes left to chat with Sherry Porter from the Oil Creek and Titusville Railroad. You have some special events coming up, including this coming weekend, folks, believe it or not, is Father's Day, and this coming Sunday, and you have a special for dads, don't you?
We do. Dads can ride coach for $10 a ticket with the purchase of a full-price ticket. So that's our sale for Father's Day. So you can either stop into the station and pick those up, or you can get them in the we can call the office and get them here, and we can have them down at the station for you.
Take Dad for a train ride for Father's
Day. There you go.
Isn't that a good idea? Gosh, I'm looking at some of the pictures of your, got a picture of the engine here. Wow. Oil Creek and Titusville painted on the side. What a throwback. You also have Diesel Days coming up, and that's in the near future. When and what's that all about, Sherry?
It will be happening the weekend of June 22nd and 23rd. We will be featuring 5 GE and GE Alco engines on site. There will be several of them pulling the train for the various runs. We will actually be doing 2 runs each Saturday and Sunday on our regular 3-hour line, and then we will also be running a short 1-hour tour on what we refer to as our Field Moore line. We will also have a display with a locally owned diesel fire truck, and we also will be have on display a super stock diesel pulling truck called On Borrowed Time, and that is being displayed for us by Aiden and Sean Hodges.
Folks, maybe you've seen, I know I've seen several shows on PBS, Public Television, Channel 13, about riding the rails and some of these scenic train trips that are available throughout different parts of the country. Here's an opportunity to do it right in our own backyard, for goodness sakes. The Oil Creek and Titusville Railroad, a great day trip from our area up to Titusville. And that's where you board, right? You have to go to the Perry Street Station in Titusville to get on board.
Correct,
about a 3-hour round trip. What an interesting part of our history train travel is. We have to have names that people would recognize, Sherry. The Wabash Cannonball, for example, or the New York Central, or the Pennsylvania Railroad. All things of the past these days.
Unfortunately, you are correct,
Unfortunately, yes. Well, gosh, Sherry, thanks for chatting with us today. Good to talk with you. Thanks for being with us.
Thank you for having us, and have a great day.
And you too. So long now.
Bye.
That's a great trip. Have you ever ridden on a train? Maybe you've got kids or grandkids who have never ridden on a train. A great trip. Oil Creek and Titusville Railroad. So we thank Sherry Porter for giving us information on that. And we certainly thank our earlier guest as well. It's good to have Peggy Weckerly with us, representing Butler AM Rotary with details on what will be phase 2 of the playground project at Butler Memorial Park. They already did Alameda Park. That was several years ago. In fact, as Peggy said, that was one of their first big projects when Butler AM Rotary was formed. Now they're halfway through their plans for renovation of the playground at Butler Memorial Park. So nice to talk with her. Program note, Pirate baseball again tonight here on WISR. The Bucks are in Atlanta now, and they don't play at Turner Field anymore. They got a new ballpark down there, Suncrest Field or something like that. I don't know. Sounds like an orange, not a ballpark. The Pirates will be trying to snap out of a slump. They lost three in a row to Milwaukee. Maybe they can turn it around against Atlanta. Airtime is 6:55 tonight for Pirate Baseball here on WISR. I'm Dave Malarkey. Thanks for being with us today, and I hope you can join us tomorrow at 12:30 for the Tuesday edition of It's Your Turn.
Thanks for joining us for today's edition of It's Your Turn with Dave Malarkey here on WISR 680 AM. Today's broadcast is also archived for you online at WISR680.com. Tune in again next time for Dave Malarkey's It's Your Turn, weekdays from 12:30 to 1:30, right here on WISR 680.
Most of the time, and the feeling is laid back. Palm trees grow and rents are low, but you know, keep thinking about making my way back. Well, I'm New York City born and raised, but nowadays I'm lost between two shores. LA is fine, but it ain't home. New York's home, but it ain't mine no more. I am myself to no one there, and no one heard at all, not even the chair. My cry.